before we begin our service this morning, I have just a few announcements that I'd like to share with you. First of all, I know that we have our potluck scheduled for next week, and we're not going to do potluck with the current COVID outbreaks and whatnot. We thought it wisdom to postpone that. So I hope in the month of March we'll be able to resume our potlucks, but there won't be any next week, so just so you know about that. And then a very happy announcement, Lexi McVeigh, her married name is White, had a baby girl last Sunday. Her name is Hayes Alexis Lynn. So we might just, if you think about it, send a note to Lexi and congratulate her on the birth of her first little baby. And then I'd like to ask something very special of you for this coming week. On Wednesday, the 16th of February, I'm going to call the saints to a time of special fasting and prayer, if you would please. And that evening service, that prayer service on Wednesday evening, will be focused on our brother Bob Gilbert. And, of course, his wife Janet. We know that he struggled, and the prognosis has not been promising of late. And so we'd like to petition our Heavenly Father in his behalf that he might have the strength and endurance and receive a healing that he truly needs. So those are our announcements for today, saints. If you'd be mindful of those things. And it's so good to have our sister Liz and Emma here this morning. I'd invite them forward now for our introit. Thank you, ladies, for that invitation. I glory in the quietness and the sanctity of this hour and the occasion in which we gather and in which we will today witness the ordination of two young men who I can testify are ready to go to work. And I thank them so much for their enthusiasm. It is infectious and makes me smile. I'd like to read a call to worship to you this morning out of the 15th chapter of the book of John. Many familiar words to you. It says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." I pray that the reading of these words might sink down into your hearts and that the good Spirit bears witness to you this day of their truth. Saints, we're going to take up our hymnals and sing hymn number 4 as our opening hymn this morning.
our Father and our God. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we have entered into this sanctuary and we have raised our voices in praise and adoration. And Lord, as we are prepared to worship Thee, we would ask Thee now in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that You would forgive us of our sins. And Lord, I would ask and present to You this congregation and ask that You might touch each heart here, that they might be ready to worship Thee, to receive that which You have for them. And Lord, I would pray for my brother Tom as he has made preparation to bring that message and that charge. Lord, may You continue to inspire him, and may he draw off the experiences in life and the knowledge You have given to him to bring forth that knowledge and light. And Lord, for my brother Joe, as he presides over this special meeting, this ordinance, this sacrament, and for my brothers who will offer those prayers, Lord, may they be inspired by Thy Spirit. And Lord, I would ask that Your holy angels would surround this place, that no unclean or evil or adverse spirit would be allowed in, that by their attendance, Lord, and they would witness Your power and majesty. And Lord, I would pray this for Your people as well, that as this priesthood has been restored in these the last days, that Your people might witness Your power and Your authority being passed to these, Your sons, this day. Because we know, Lord, that it is through the priesthood and the authority that godliness is manifest. And so, Lord, I would even ask humbly that You would You please attend us now? Would You please be here? Would You please guide the hearts and the minds and the tongues of those who are here and will participate? Lord, that all honor and glory might be Thine forever and ever. And above all, Lord, we thank You for Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for His life and His death and His sacrifice on our behalf. For without Him, none of this would be possible. And so, Lord, won't You bless us now, we ask, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
For an offertory scripture, I'd like to read from the book of Malachi, 3rd chapter, 10th verse. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There's a statement and a challenge I heard on an occasion that I believe that the prophets and of old and the saints that have gone before us and that walk the streets of the holy city even today would tell us. This statement goes like this: God is the greatest giver in the universe, and He won't let you outgive Him. Go ahead and try and see what happens. Let us bow. Our dear Heavenly Father, we pray a blessing upon these gifts and offerings, that You would bless Thy people and prosper them for their willingness to give. Father, may we build churches, houses of worship, schools, and bless and help the poor. Father, would You bless us that we may be able to give and give more fully. Father, we pray in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For a scripture reading, I've chosen out of section 17 and Hebrews 5:4. The rise of the church in these last days, being 1,830 years since the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, and being regularly organized and established agreeably to the laws of the country by the will and commandments of God in the fourth month on the sixth day of the month, which is called April, which commandments were given to Joseph Smith, Jr., who was called of God and ordained an apostle of Jesus Christ, to be the first elder of this church, and to Oliver Cowdery, who was also called of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to be the second elder of this church, and ordained under his hand, and this according to the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom all glory both now and forever. Amen. And in Hebrews 5:4, no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that was called of God, as was Aaron. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of these words.
I'd like to apologize for the struggle with my emotions. The Spirit is working on my heart this morning. I appreciate the song of ministry that Emma and Elizabeth brought this morning. This scripture that I just read in the opening has a lot of meaning to me. I've been extremely blessed because of this church. Blessed beyond compare. To me, it's hard to imagine that I'm even standing here before you, coming from Canada. As a young child, I never pictured that I would be in this position that I'm in. But I'm humbled and I praise the Lord that I have this opportunity to be a part of this church, a part of this branch, a part of this church family. And the love that all you share and have given me, not only in this branch, but in the church as a whole, in the different branches I've been a part of. Josiah and Trenton, you have been called of God to the office of deacon. And your callings are true and sure. And just as I read here that no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Our brother Joe already read that in John 15:16, he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you." Also looking at section 12 A and B, it says, "Every priest, teacher, or deacon is to be ordained according to the gifts and callings of God unto him. And he is to be ordained by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is in the one who ordains him." So brothers, when you come up here on this rostrum, these men that place your hands upon your heads, they have that gift of the Holy Ghost, and they have that authority to confer that priesthood upon thee, and that you will receive that priesthood, as we know is in this ordinance of the church. If we look at the reason why you're called, section 17, 11e through F. It says, "But neither teachers nor deacons have authority to baptize, administer the sacrament, or lay on of hands. They are, however, to warn, expound, exhort, and teach, and invite all to come to Christ." This would be the primary duty of your callings, to share the testimony of Jesus Christ. First and foremost, as it says here, to warn, expound, exhort, and teach, and invite all to come to Christ. When you think of what it says in Moroni chapter 7 in the Book of Mormon, it says, "The Spirit of Christ is which leadeth a man to do good and persuadeth to believe in Jesus Christ and invites and entices." So you're following the will of the Spirit in your duty when you do this, as all priesthood should be when they share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is incumbent upon all men who occupy the office of the priesthood of one form or another. You are prophetic witnesses in how you live your life and how you carry out your life day by day, not only here in this branch, primarily in this branch, but outside of the branch in your daily walk with your neighbors and your friends and your family. You are called to set the example of a minister for Jesus Christ. We can look at the example of Stephen. He was a deacon, as what I've heard. I couldn't find anything that really says that, but I've heard that he was a deacon, and share a little bit about his life out of Acts chapter 6, 5 through 8. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And in section 83, verses 20 through 21, it says, therefore, take with you those who are ordained. This is speaking to apostolic ministers that go out and share the gospel. The lesser priesthood, and send them before you to make appointments and prepare the way and fill appointments that you yourselves are not able to fill. Behold, this is the way mine apostles in ancient days built up my church. And so they've taken Aaronic ministers in the areas that they were in. Those Aaronic ministers aren't necessarily to travel, but those areas in which they were in, they would send them ahead of them to make appointments with saints, and so they could have a, because they couldn't fill all these appointments. And it says, therefore, let every man stand in his own office and labor in his own calling. And let not the head say unto the feet, it hath no need of the feet. For without the feet, how shall the body be able to stand? Also the body hath need of every member, that all may be edified together, that the system may be kept perfect. And so basically here what the Lord is saying is that all these priesthood offices are just as important as one another. Every office is important as another. And so, looking at section 11,4a through b, he says, behold, I speak unto you, and also to all those who have desires to bring forth and establish this work. And Josiah and Trenton, I know that you've had those desires. I've seen it in your lives, your desire in how you carry yourself and your demeanor and your smile that you have. You're fulfilling the ministry of the deacon in a sense already before you've been ordained. You have that gift of being able to connect with people and share this gospel, and make them feel comfortable, make them feel welcome. But it goes on to tell us here, it says, and no one can assist in this work except he shall be humble and full of love, having faith, hope, and charity, being temperate in all things whatsoever shall be entrusted to his care. And so the Lord is telling us, again, the same as in Moroni chapter 7, where it talks about, eventually gets to that pure love of Christ. He talks about faith, hope, and charity with an eye, being temperate in all things. And you shall be entrusted in all things which shall be entrusted to your care. And this body of Christ is going to be entrusted to your care as you greet people as they come in the church, as you take up the offering, as you help prepare the emblems for the sacrament. The duties and responsibilities that you have are very important. But most of all, the duty of welcoming the membership and making them feel welcome at home in this sanctuary and preparing this holy sanctuary for the ministry that is done in here. I've always enjoyed how Buckner has kept this sanctuary very sacred, as a sacred and holy place. If we look at Timothy 3:8 through 14, we have these words from Paul speaking on the office of a deacon. And previous to this, he speaks on the office of a bishop. And I would say these are all good recommendations or how the priesthood should conduct themselves in any office of the priesthood. But he says in 1 Timothy 3:8, likewise, the deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith of in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of the deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. In preparing the sanctuary as a house of worship, I've kind of already alluded to that. If we look at section 85, 36b through 37, the deacons are responsible for this. This is part of one of the main parts of their ministry. Even though this scripture here is speaking more specifically to the temple, I believe that secondarily it speaks to us as we worship in the setting that we have. But it says, starting in 36b, organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, and establish a house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God, that your incomings may be in the name of the Lord, and that your outgoings may be in the name of the Lord, that all your salutations may be in the name of the Lord, with uplifted hands unto the Most High. And then 37 says, therefore cease from all your light speeches, from all laughter, from all lustful desires, from all your pride and light-mindedness, and from your wicked doings. From the, I'd like to read from the Ministry of the Deacon on page 34. Speaking of the Aaronic priesthood, it says, the Aaronic priesthood could also make a contribution to the establishment of Zion and the gathering movement by holding up certain standards of excellence in respect to vocational recognition. In such cases, of course, there would be the requirement, first of all, to give evidence of such performance on the part of the individual holding priesthood. The Aaronic priesthood is, in respect, along with others, also has the responsibility of teaching membership the fundamental purposes of Zion and should be able to point out the relationship of the temporal and spiritual aspects. This priesthood also has the opportunity of bringing credit to the church through the manner in which it administers the ordinances of the church, the passing of the sacrament, the care of the emblems, the collecting of the offerings. This calls for responsibility excellent in the matter of personal appearance and knowledge of proper methods of approach to individuals not members of the church. If you would turn with me to section 83, verses 3a through 4c, these words share on the Aaronic ministry's purpose in the keys to the preparatory gospel, which I've already spoken of in part, in the keys of the ministry of angels, starting in 3a. It says, and the Lord confirmed a priesthood upon Aaron and his seed throughout all their generations, which priesthood also continueth and abideth forever, with priesthood which is after the holiest order of God. And this greater priesthood administers the gospel, holdeth the key of the mysteries of the kingdom, even the key of the knowledge of God. Therefore, in the ordinances thereof, the power of godliness is manifest, and without the ordinances thereof, in the authority of the priesthood, the power of godliness is not manifest unto men in the flesh. For without this, no man can see the face of God, even the Father, and live. It says, now Moses plainly taught this unto the children of Israel, and sought diligently to sanctify his people, that they might behold the face of God. But they hardened their hearts and could not endure his presence. Therefore the Lord in his wrath, for his anger was kindled against them, swore that they should not enter into his rest while in the wilderness, which rest is the fullness of his glory. Therefore he took Moses out of their midst, and the holy priesthood also, and the lesser priesthood continued, which priesthood holdeth the key of the ministering of angels, and the preparatory gospel, which gospel is the gospel of repentance and of baptism and the remission of sins and the law of carnal commandments. And then in 104:10, section 104, verse 10, the power and authority of the lesser or Aaronic priesthood is to hold the keys of the ministering of angels and to administer in the outward ordinances the letter of the gospel, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, agreeably to the covenants and commandments. I read this part on the preparatory gospel and the keys of the ministering of angels as I reflect back on when I was ordained to the office of priest. I was ordained at the Waldo Avenue Baptist Church, or Waldo Avenue Restoration Branch, formerly the Baptist Church. And interestingly enough, Brother Rick, your dad, was the one who performed that ordination with my father-in-law and Brother Bill Davies. And the man that gave the sermon that day was Brother Wayne Kent. And Brother Wayne Kent, I believe he was a fairly spiritual man. Because up to that moment of my ordination, I had prayed that the three Nephites would be present for that service and participate in that service. And I never shared a word of that with Brother Kent. And Brother Kent, the first scripture he turned to was 3 Nephi chapter 13, where Christ asked those three what their desire was. And of course, their desire was to remain and bring souls to Christ. And he confirmed that through that reading of that scripture, and he said the three Nephites were invited that day to that service. And I believe that they participated in that service. And you fellas and anyone in the Aaronic priesthood has that ability, the key, to unlock and call upon the ministry of angels. Now, I know that ministry is dependent upon Jesus Christ. But if you're living the life you should be, and we all should be, then and it's expedient in God's will, then He would answer that call, that prayer. I know that He did for me. And I remember when Brother Kent shared that, how the Spirit washed over me. And I felt and knew the truth of that, that prayer was fulfilled. And then out of Mosiah, I love the words of King Benjamin, brothers, and it says, "And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you, when you're in this service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of your God." And so that's where your service lies, in the service of your fellow beings, as directed by the Spirit. I'm going to close with section 4, 1a through e. He says, "And now behold, the marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve Him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at the last day. Therefore, if ye have desires to serve God, ye are called to the work. For behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. And lo, he that thrusteth in his sickle with his might, the same layeth up store, and that he perish not, but bringeth salvation to his soul. And faith, hope, and charity with an eye single to the glory of God qualifies him for the work." Remember, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, godliness, charity, humility, diligence. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Saints, we're going to sing together hymn number 25, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And what I'd like to ask is, during the singing of the last verse of this hymn, that firstly the elders that will be performing this ordinance would come forth first and take their place up here on the rostrum. And after they found their place, then if Trenton and Josiah would come forward. So during the singing of the last verse of that hymn, the elders will come forward first. Let's sing together hymn number 25. And now, saints, we will witness together, firstly, the ordination of Trenton Jones to the office of deacon by his father, Elder Justin Jones, and Elder Mike Moores, and then followed by the ordination of Josiah Carnahan, again to the office of deacon, by his father, Elder Tom Carnahan, his grandfather, Elder John Baker, and Elder Rick Rogers.
O God, the eternal Heavenly Father, it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we now lay our hands upon this thy Son and our brother's head. And Lord, we are so grateful as you have restored this holy priesthood once again upon the earth. And Lord, what a privilege it is to stand here now and to be able to bestow that mantle upon my son. And Lord, I thank you for his life and the growth he has made, and I would ask that you would bestow upon him those gifts and blessings that he needs and desires, that he might fulfill and magnify the calling to the office which he will occupy. And Trenton, Anthony Jones, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ordain you to be a deacon, to warn, to expound, to exhort, to invite all to come unto Christ, and even in your daily walk, and by your witness, to preach repentance and remission of sins on Jesus Christ by faith and endurance until the end. Amen.
Josiah, or amen. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, having authority given us, we place our hands upon your head and set thee apart into the Aaronic priesthood, office specifically being that of the deacon. Lord, we lift him up before you, that you would bless him, that as he serves thee, that thou would minister to his heart and his mind, that he would be able to function, Lord, in that office and calling as directed by your Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would rest upon him, Father, for we know it is by the power of the Holy Ghost that he would do these things, that he might learn his duties, and he might learn from those who already hold the office of deacon. Lord, that he could be a minister in this place. And so, Father, we set him apart under this calling, and this day we ordain him again to this office in the Aaronic priesthood. And may he remember that faith, hope, and charity, and humbleness, and virtue, and patience, and diligence, Lord, and all these things, that his ministry will flourish, that he might bring forth fruit for his Father's kingdom, not only here in this place, but in the places that he works, and the friends and the people that he meets in this world. That he might bear his testimony, Father, in a way that would help lead others to Christ. And Josiah, you were commanded to invite all under this church, that you would be led and guided and directed in doing so. And so, Father, we lift him up before thy throne of grace. Father, we ask that you would look down upon us in mercy at this time. And we set him apart, and we ask it in thy most holy and precious name, in Jesus Christ. Amen.
I'd like to ask these two young brethren to be ushered out amongst the first from the sanctuary here, and right outside in our foyer be available so that the saints can come by and greet you. I know we all rejoice in this occasion, and we look so forward to your ministry, and we bear testimony of how it is that the good Spirit is here today to bless us and to bless you. Saints, shall we once again take up our hymn books, and we'll turn to hymn number 304, 304, Rise Up, O Men of God, and we'll use this as our closing hymn today.
Father, our God, in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we draw close to this time of worship, of witnessing the sacrament in your church in these latter days. And as the souls of the hearts of men on this earth perish to the sin that is present, we are grateful, God, that your work continues and you continue to call those into the field while the field is white and ready to harvest, that we might prepare for your return. And I pray, dear God, with all my might, that you would strengthen these young men, that you would encourage them and let them know the work is for eternity. Yet we find ourselves in this season, in this latter day of this time on earth, and how privileged we are that you reveal yourself to us, that we might be used for your kingdom's sake. I would encourage this branch and all those that witness this ordinance, Lord, that we have obligation, responsibility to uphold these young men into the service of for the sake of your kingdom, that we might stand ready to encourage and to uplift, that we might have that patience and understanding of that process in which you will use your people in these latter days. For no man is an island to himself. Lord, spiritually, we are all connected. Help us in this endeavor to bring forth that kingdom on earth. And I pray each one might know that they have a calling as well to be a light into this world, to carry the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, into their heart and into this world. Lord, above all these things and above all that's before us, forgive us of our sin that we might be made clean and pure and you might use us for your good. Bless us as we go, and I pray a benediction upon this time and ask in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.